How could I be better than Bobby's sermon on Sunday? And she said to me, Bobby, she said, if it was shorter in time, it could always be better. And then I had a bone to pick with Bobby. I dress up every trunk or treat, and I always thought I had the Ten Commandments. I had a robe, a wig. I thought it was guaranteed that everyone knew I was Moses, but he said it's just like every other Bible. Okay. Got that off my chest. Now I can get going. Thank you, Brother Bob. Amen. Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Okay. This is what God put on my... I had another message, but God put this one on my heart, so you got to just go with what God tells you. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, here we go. Chapter 6, verse 7. Thank you, Master Matthew. He's standing. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to get behind the pulpit. Lord, I pray that you would bless the message today. Lord, I pray that it glorify you in everything. And Lord, I think of our pastor as he's getting a little rest and relaxation with his wife and celebrating his anniversary. I pray you give him a great time. I think of our ones that are sick. I pray for Brother Jose with his cancer. And I think of Cynthia with her broken her leg that is broken in two spots. Lord, I pray for her. And Lord, I just pray for our church that we continue to grow and you'd bless us. And Lord, I pray for that bus that would be back on the road. I don't know the progress, but Lord, I know you do. And Lord, I'd love to see that bus back in action this Sunday. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to work on sowing and reaping today. And I enjoy this verse because it convicts me and makes me think about the day that one day I'm going to stand in front of God and I'm going to be spoken to, judged, looked at, and I just hope that I've done everything that is possible that would be pleasing to him. And I hope that he's not going to be angry with me, and I hope he'll be pleased with everything I've done. And I think about, it says, we shouldn't be deceived as our God is not mocked. He sees all our actions, thoughts, deeds, our every detail, and he knows most importantly our sins. And we could be fooling this persons, your husband, your wife, but you cannot fool your parents. You could fool your friends, but you're not going to fool God. It's just you and yourself, and God will know exactly what's going on. And so whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. When I was growing, and I'm not glorifying this, but when I was growing up, I was 17 years old, and I was in high school, and I remember this when growing up, I heard my mom and dad speak, and I asked my dad, could I go out with my friend? And I won't say his name, but I said, can I go out with my friend? It's a Friday night. We got some things going on. I saw him. He said, sure, no problem. Let me just talk to mom. So he was talking to my mom, and I overheard. I was just kind of, I'm a nosy, and I wanted to see if I would get the okay. And I remember hearing my dad say, don't worry about him, hon. My mom was kind of the protective type. He said, he's just a young man. He's going to go out, have some fun. He's getting things out of his system. Let him sow his wild oats. I remember hearing that, sow his wild oats. And he said he has to get everything that was crazy out of his system. He's young. And I could hear my sisters when they overheard it. They're like, wow, Dad never did that for us growing up. He had a strict time to come home. And how's he let Steve get away with this? And so my dad, he was very relaxed, and he said, just let him come home when he comes home. 1 o'clock, he said, was my deadline to be home. And so that was pretty easy to deal with. I usually got tired before then, but I would go out with this one friend, and we would drink beer, and we would go out, and he had a nice truck, and as we were driving out, we would take toilet paper, we would toilet paper people's yards. We did other crazy things. We also used his truck to pick up like tables, chairs, carpets, coffee tables, and lights. And we would then go to someone's house. We set it up on their front lawn, and we would then ring the doorbell, and we would take off. And it wasn't something that I'm proud of, but we would do that. And we did this many times until one time. I'd say we did this straight for 2 months, and then one time we got caught, and a police officer. And he's scared. He said, oh, I could take you in. You guys aren't supposed to be out at this hours of night. You're obviously not acting right. And he read me the Riot Act, and I was so scared. But my friend, he's like, well, we'll do this again next Friday. I said, no way. I'm not doing this another Friday. And so I think about, sow a thought and you repeat, you reap an act. Like I would go out drinking with this friend. So we would sow a thought on during the week, and then Friday we would reap an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. So we started doing it all the time. We do it like every 3 or 4 or 5, became like 8 times in a row. And that's something that I shouldn't have done, but we kept doing it. And so you sow an act, you reap a habit. Now, if you sow a habit, you reap your character. And my character wasn't being good. I was out drinking. It was really relaxed then, but I think about it now. It's like, why didn't I get in trouble? I should have been in trouble. He was driving my friend, and it wasn't wise to do. And it all started with the drinking and our bad ideas. And so started to become our character. People started teasing us about our beer brand. They called us the Stroh's Bros, and it wasn't a good character. And then the last thing, you sow character and you reap a destiny. My friend and I, we did that. And I had a decision where I said, that's not right. I can't do that anymore. But my friend, he kept doing it. He found another friend to do it with. And then growing up, and when he graduated from high school, he became an alcoholic. He started drinking hard liquor. He got so hooked on that, he never went to college. He went up to the UP in Michigan, it's the Upper Peninsula, and his mother owned a bar, and he started working at that bar. And when I would see him, he was just a mess. And I think of how that, you can make decisions. You reap what you sow. You sow what you reap. And that was not a wise decision on our part, and I'm not proud of it. So, but thank God, God eventually, not me, but eventually God, I found God, and I started doing things that were right. And so there's 4 things to heed when living Galatians 6:9. The first part of it says, be not deceived. So the warning, that's the first part is you got to have a warning. And people often trick themselves in thinking they can sin or live selfishly without facing consequences. I faced my consequences. I had a police officer stop me, and I said, that's it. I'm not doing that again. That's not wise. I think this past Sunday, I have a Sunday school class that's called the Golden Oldies. Maybe I should get a better name, but the Golden Oldies. And we had Marlene there this past week, and she said, you won't believe I had such a decision. I felt like the devil was just hitting me and hitting me all morning long, and I didn't want to come to church. I didn't feel like it. I wasn't, I just was going to use that for an excuse, and I wasn't going to come. But then I thought, well, I started praying to God, God, let me fight this devil. Let me beat the devil. And she said that she decided to come out to church, and she was in Sunday school, and I was blessed. I always love when we have Marlene. She's great. And so she was getting fought from the devil, and she decided that she was not going to be deceived, and she made a decision to come to church. And so I was thankful for that. Each summer after I teach, I always think to myself at the June when we finish school, man, I'd say, I would love to get a job because it's summertime. I'm not going to make a lot of money. I'd love to find a job where I could make a lot of money and I wouldn't have to worry about some of our financial burdens. But then I talked to my wife and she's like, nah, why don't we pray about it? I don't think you're not thinking straight. And then I think about it. Well, God did move me to Scranton from Michigan, moved me away from my family, and he moved me to this place. And then I say, you know what? I don't want to be out of God's will. So I'm going to keep teaching until God tells me not to. And I get the opportunity to be with kids. I enjoy the kids. Patty and I aren't blessed with kids, but I have the kids. I get to teach Camille sometimes, and it's the last I had last year. And it's always a blessing. I love the kids. And so it's silly of me, but the devil always tries to make me. My wife will tell you, every year I think, man, maybe this is the year I'm going to get a job and not go back to teaching. But then I get back, and I don't let the devil trick me. And I say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And so I don't make bad decisions, and so I'm not going to be deceived. Now, number two, it's God is not mocked. I think about the reality. The reality, God is never fooled. God knows everything. He knows every hair on our body. You can't outsmart God. You can't outsmart his divine justice. And if you turn to Matthew 27, we're going to talk about being mocked. I sometimes get mocked about my hair. They tease me about being a bald head. Hey, Bobby, come on. Okay. I know, you're right. I did. Okay, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 29, and we're going to go to verse 31. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. I think about how they were mocking him. And God's not to be mocked, but they were saying, Hail, King of the Jews! One time growing up, I remember I was watching sports game with my uncle, and I don't know if you guys remember, but people would always wear there'd be a certain people, and they would pan into him. Bobby will remember. It would say John 3:16. And I always wondered, I was not saved then. I was a Catholic guy, boy. And so I said, what's John 3:16 stand for? And my Uncle Dave, who I was watching sports with my father, he said, that's just people trying to promote their religion. They're just mocking God, he was saying. They don't know what they're just mocking God wearing that. And it's a joke. And so I thought, well, that doesn't seem... Why would he be wearing something to mock God? But nowadays, if you wore something like that, you couldn't get into a sporting event that way. They probably wouldn't let you. Nowadays, if you wear Make America Great, which has no political affiliation, it just Make America Great, they won't even let you into a voting area to vote. They won't let you into arenas to watch sporting events. They'll ask you to take that off. And so people are so insensitive. So people these days are professionally righteous while living a lifestyle of disobedience. People reject him by twisting his written word. I one time was talking to someone at the bowling alley. I bowl on Tuesdays, and I was talking to a guy about the Lord. And he said, I don't know if I could ever go to your church. You probably don't believe in lesbians and gays, and you probably think God hates that. I said, yes, I do. Amen, I do. He said, I can't go to a church like that. That's hate. I said, that's not. God doesn't hate the person. He hates the sin. And it's just mocking. And I don't like people that get mocked for God. So I stayed away from the guy. And I figured, the pastor always said, you try witnessing. If it doesn't work out, you go on to another. Now we're going to get to the point number three. Whatsoever a man soweth. That's the rule. The rule is life operates like farming. There's kinds of seeds you plant, like actions, thoughts, time, money. They dictate the kind of harvest you're going to get. If you do good things, you're probably going to get good things back. If you do bad things, you're not going to get a lot of bad things, good things coming back to you. And so, whatsoever a man soweth, if you go to Matthew chapter 13, I got another, this will be my last little thing to read, but Matthew chapter 13. And you go to verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1, and I'm going to go to 9. Okay. Okay, it says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because there was no root. They withered away. And some fell upon among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Here's the good one. "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's the parable. I think about back in the day, me and my wife, we lived in Ferndale, Michigan. And it was my first house. My wife, after we got married, we lived in my first house. And I was very weird when it came to my yard. I would cut my grass, I would edge it, I would weed whack, and I would make sure there was not a single weed. Now you think that's true, Matthew. I am not lying. I would go up with a thing and I'd poke the weed and pull it up and grab it. I wanted my lawn to be pristine. And so I really enjoyed my yard, and I've since become relaxed here in Scranton. God's helped me. But one day I came home from work. This is a true story. I came home from work, and I looked in the back. I was looking for my wife. I didn't see her in the house. I was looking in my backyard, and there she was digging up my grass. Wow. The nerve of that woman. Man, good thing we're somewhat newly married. I did let, okay. I was just fighting it back, but so I was like, okay, so what are you doing here, hon? She said, oh, well, I'm making myself a garden. We're going to have a garden. We're going to have some tomatoes. I love tomatoes, and we're going to have our own garden. So I got over it like a good husband. I got over it, and even though it did sting a little bit, my yard was dug up. And so each day, my wife, she planted those seeds. Each day, she would water, and she worked hard. She made it look good. Any weeds that would come, I didn't pick them. She would pick them, and she worked hard at that. And then one day, we saw vines coming up. Oh, those tomatoes are getting close. We were so excited. And she was mostly excited because she, like I said, she loves tomato sandwiches. And so then it's getting time, and we are looking out our kitchen window and saying, God, what have you given us? Let's see how these tomatoes look. And we looked out the back window, and as we looked out the back window, this is no lie, I hate these things. My wife really hates them. But there was a rat on his hind legs, steadily one of the vines with a tomato, and just going to town, scarfing on that tomato. Oh, my wife was so upset. She was angry. And we were very, very disappointed that happened. And so with the garden, we had to be patient. And we were patient. And unfortunately, there's other things that you have to worry about besides being patient and watching your fruit grow. You got to be careful of those little rodents. And they're little stinkers. But we have to be patient with people. Not every person's going to jump out and say, I'm saved. Sometimes you've got to work on people and keep working on them until they really get it. And as born-again Christians, we are considered to be sowers. That's our job. We are sowers. Many times I believe we expect everything to be given to us, but what have we planted? Have we gone out? Have we prepared the land? Have we talked to people? Do we have a designated time where we go out soul winning? Are we always ready? Do we have our tracks with us? How can we expect to have a harvest when we sow nothing? God's not going to give us, he's a just God. He's not going to give us anything unless you sow. So our success depends upon our sowing. God wants us to be givers, not takers. Givers equals sowers. Takers equals seed eaters. I think of those fowls in Matthew 13:4. It says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them." You gotta watch them. You gotta take care of them. You gotta nurture them. and you got to then pick the, like the tomatoes, you had to pick them before the stinking rats will get them. So we have to make time to sow the seeds, but we always have to be ready to give an answer. God tells us to be prepared. I know when I was at Knoebels the other day, I saw a guy with a Scranton shirt. He's Scranton Mixed Martial Arts, I think that's what it is. And so I was trying to talk to him, and I was having a good time, and I was leading up to witnessing to him. But then my friend Mickey talked to him about cables and chains, and I lost him. I never got him back. But I was thinking, this was my opportunity. And so, but God gives us many blessings. When you're out there looking for souls, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I, we went to 2 soul winning appointments, and both the people weren't home. But as we were walking to the car, I saw a gentleman, a young kid, walking up. And my wife and I went over, and we were able to talk to the guy. And sure enough, he was ready to get saved. And so God just gives you so many blessings when you're out doing good and you're ready ready for that harvest. God will give you many, many blessings. It says in 2 Corinthians, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountiful shall reap bountiful." I want to be one of those bountiful sowers. I don't want to be sparingly. That doesn't even sound, I don't like that word, sparingly. I want to be bountiful. I think of my friend Diane. She is a bountiful sower. She gives that gospel. Anyone calls her, she's going to give them the gospel. She goes to a dollar store, she's going to give them the gospel. And she's someone that I really look up to, and I cherish having her as a friend, knowing that she is a sower. And that's a blessing. But I've never told this. There was a story, and my wife and I, when we lived in Michigan, we were listening to Pastor Bloom. We listened to all his messages. I believe Bob Watzel would put them online. And my wife, it was more my wife, I wasn't always listening to the sermons, but I heard this message, and it was Pastor, it was back in 2007. He was talking about that he went to a conference, and he made a commitment to God that he was going to give the gospel each and every day until someone made a profession of faith. Now, man, when I heard him say that, because I was just recently saved, I was like, how can someone do that? I got saved in 2005. Is this guy out of his mind? He's going to do this every day. I just couldn't believe someone would do that. And like I said, I lived in Michigan, and I had another pastor, Pastor Crabb. But when I heard this pastor preaching about this, he told about one time he was having a hard time. He was going out soul winning, and he said him and his partner, they were getting close, but no one prayed that day to know the Lord. So he said, I went home, I dropped my soul winning partner off, and I went home. And as he said, he went into the house, it was 11:30 at night, and I'm sure he probably went to Walmart too, but I probably don't remember everything, but he got home at 11:30, I do remember that, and he had his daughter there, his son-in-law, and his wife, and he said hi to them, but he said, I was kind of rude because I wanted to get into my office. He said, sometimes in my office, I used to have phone numbers of people, and I was looking for a phone number of someone I could call and maybe lead to the Lord. And I'm listening to this guy. This guy, he was intent. He wasn't content. Maybe just throwing the towel. Hey, I missed one day. One day is not bad, but not our pastor. And so he kept on trying to figure it out. So then he said, you know what? I could look up on they had the white pages on the internet. And he said, I've started looking up in California, and I started calling people. He kept calling. He just had no success, no luck. And he's the type of guy, he's a bulldog. He's not going to give up. And so then he started calling Washington State, Oregon, and he was trying hard. He said, no luck. He had nobody was home, and it was getting really late. He said, he's tired. But he has this commitment. So it's 12:30. He's calling Alaska now. And he's trying to get someone on the phone, someone that will listen to him. And he's just not having any luck. And he said, wait a second, I forgot about one state. And he said, Hawaii. And so he called Hawaii. And after calling a few people, he got a hold of a gentleman. And I remember the story. It was a guy that was in Iraq. And this guy was very nice to him, and he started talking to him, and he asked him, how would you know for certain that you go to heaven? And this Iraqi vet said, I'm going to heaven because I have six kids that I take care of and I love and I show them kindness. And he said, that's how I know I'm getting to heaven someday. And Pastor thought, praise the Lord. He said, this is my guy. And so Pastor proceeded to tell him that that's not going to get you saved. And I remembered this today because this was a big story that really helped me think about moving here. And so he was able to talk to this gentleman, and that gentleman got saved. And when he was done talking to the man and he prayed, the man said, thank you so much for calling. This was the perfect time. I was needing someone to make it more clear to me. And I think about Pastor's commitment that time, and he did that for many years, every day giving someone the gospel till they make a profession of faith. Man, I think about him and how smart he is. And it says in the Bible, a wise man, he that winneth souls is wise. And my pastor is very wise. He's a bulldog. And he, when I heard about that story, that was always in the back of my mind. And it just like, wow, I want to, and we got to meet him. And then I was like, I found out more about him. And I said, that is someone I respect and someone that I would want to be a part of. There's no one else like that I know. And so we are all sowers. We all have that ability, and we're all sent forth. God wants us all to be sowers. Some people plant seeds, some people water, but some people reap. But remember always that God gives you the increase. Now, the fourth, and this is the last one, that shall he also reap. Now, that's the result. A harvest is certain. Sowing to selfish desires brings destruction, while sowing to the Spirit brings eternal life. You always reap more than you sow. We should be excited. We should be excited to reap. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes on Thursdays, I'm thinking, man, we're going out. We got to go out this Thursday again? But I shouldn't be that way. And honestly, when I go out, I always say, wow, why wasn't I excited? This is good stuff. This is fun to do. And I think about our soul winners that go door to door. They don't even have, when I go out, we usually have someone that's visited the church that we go visit. But I think about the other people that go door to door. Now, that can be tough sometimes. But such a promising when you're able to see someone get saved. And it's exciting to see who the next seed that will turn into God's fruit that remaineth. It's exciting. I think a Christian, Brother Joe, got to talk to Christian, and he's at every church service. And that's a blessing when he's here and we get to see him. And that's precious fruit. I know God's pleased with that. And so God wants us to be soul winners. So don't ever give up. You'll see weeds throughout. You'll see weeds out in your fields. You'll see things, your seeds being devoured by fowls. But keep throwing that seed down. Keep going out. God will provide soul for us to reap. And remember, don't be deceived, as God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you that, Lord, I need a kick in my behind to be